Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It is a sunny isle, things people do there. Bound to make you smile from Spanish Wells. Straight down to Cape Sea Preacher Cave is right upon each gate, oh lady die.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. After a long holiday weekend, we celebrated Whit Monday yesterday for members of the Christian community. This is an important day. And for the rest of us, we always appreciate a public holiday. I played Elutra by Eddie Minnis to start the show. I want to say good morning to all the little children out at the Thomas A. Robinson Original Stadium today for the, I think, the primary school Nationals, the primary school track and field nationals today and for the next couple of days. I'm going to say, send shout outs to two young sparks coming all the way up from Inagua. Your great grandmother, Gabrielle, says, good morning and Godspeed and do your best. We want to say congratulations to all of the primary school students selected to compete in this year's primary school, government school nationals, and all of the young students traveling from the Family Islands to New Providence for this event. Remember, guys, we're in the midst of a heat wave, so if you send in your kids to the stadium over the next couple of days, send them with lots of water. For the staff, let's make sure that there is an abundance of water available for young people. They shouldn't have to buy water at this event, and hopefully the ministry was able to secure some water sponsors so that water would be available throughout the day at no cost to the students there. Please remember to keep students in the shade. I think they're going to be there all day for the next couple of days. Congratulations. And thank you and congratulations to all the teachers, coaches, support staff, parents required to make this event work. A couple of notices before we get into the bulk of the show. The Hannah Hasty Times Family Association is having a meeting tonight, Tuesday, the 21st of May, 2024 at 6 p.m. at St. John's College. If you need clarity on the details for registering, the itinerary for the weekend of events, if you want to join one of the committees, volunteer at the event, please come out tonight, Tuesday, 21st of May, 6 p.m., St. John's College. If you have used and gently used, we even accept brand new items to donate to the HHT Family Association Jumble Sale. Please come out tonight to St. John's College, 6 p.m., to drop them off. And we say thank you to the administrators at St. John's College. Thank you very much. Remember, the HHT Family Association's family reunion, is coming up August 1st through 5th. August 1st through 5th. The registration deadline is the last day of May. So please come out. Come out tonight, Tuesday, 21st of May, St. John's College, 6 p.m. Now, we've got lots to talk about today. If you want to call it an open line, we can definitely call it an open line. And the question is, or what the focus is this morning, is how many of our systems are breaking down? Over the weekend, I had a lot of quiet time, quiet, heat-filled solitude to think. BC is on the list. BPL is on the list. Water and sewerage is on the list. Road traffic department is on the list, and RBPF road traffic on the list as well. PMH, PHA, Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture are on the list so far. We're going to go through that in a moment. If you are without electricity right now, or you know someone who is out without electricity right now, text in or call in and share that information so that the staff at BPL, who we know are listening, because they like to listen. I mean, they've been listening. I know they're listening to Morning Blend with Dwight Strawn. It's so hard to turn the knob. If you're still tuned in, hopefully people can share information. I know there's a residence in Golden Gates on the north side of the park. I think that's Golden Gates number 2. As of, I think, Sunday afternoon or Monday, they were off for over 13 hours. They were without proper power for over 13 hours. So if your general area has been restored, but power to your home has not been restored, text in 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, and I'll read that information on air for you. If you experienced the great water outage and your water has not returned yet, your water pressure or your water supply has not returned yet, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yes, Ms. Green. How are you doing? Ciela and Johnson.
Morning, Ciela.
A couple of quick points.
Yes, sir.
What we have to do is we have to begin to look at these state-owned enterprises and companies which the government has invested interest in, mm-hmm. and literally begin to understand what a sovereign wealth fund is and what a sovereign asset management company does.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that if we are claiming that, oh, we need to sell off these assets in the same capacity, we can put them as standalone organizations for which the government has no ability to influence. The significant difference between the two is these now sovereign asset, sovereign wealth fund by sovereign asset management will be run as, instead of NGOs, as NPOs, non-profit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a slightly difference between those for non-profit, these are non-profit, because you make a profit, but it's for the purpose of expansion and building as opposed to extracting the profit out of
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
But the sovereign asset management company would have no interference from government, and in the same way private enterprise is run, it is run for the benefit, development, and advancement of the country. Now, the problem is that we've never taken, if you look at every institution in this country, there is no paperwork nor nothing to show you the current condition. I think I'd give you this analysis before.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't plan a trip unless you know where you are and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to basically do an assessment of where we are. We have this BEC, or BPL conversation.
Mm-hmm.
No one can release a paper today telling you the state of the grid, the new replacement grid we need, or even a strategy for reduction before we even move to increasing generation. And so if we are to be competitive in the 21st century, we have to do the same. Now, let me do a political plug. We have looked at our leadership of the past, and they have had the opportunity for the same information.
Mm-hmm.
The previous administration spent over $200 million, maybe $250 million on consultants, and we achieved nothing. Mm-hmm. Just forget the workers now. Forget the $30 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's $60 million a year that we've given to these consultants from the Office of the Prime Minister in over 4 years or 5 years. What did we get? Is there a single piece of document that shows you a strategy? No. So we have tried the previous administrations, and they brought us no capacity. What would they bring now by looking at them again?
Mm-hmm.
This administration has spent the same amount of money, so significantly more. The question is, what are we getting for it? We have to rethink this concept of being anchored in the past and in the eyes of the future. We really must examine. And I say this, but this end this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this song, Let's Do It Again?
I think so, yeah. I don't like it, not no more, though. I don't want
no,
to do
right,
it again.
No, right, no, but see, I want people to understand, let's do it again. And I find it significant that the former prime minister would use a song called Let's Do It Again about a group of people who happen, by the way, those actors, two of those actors happen to be Bohemian. Mm-hmm. Sidney Poitier and, what is his name?
Not Birdie. Oh.
No.
In the movie. In the movie.
Yeah.
Calvin.
Calvin, right.
Love
they
that.
Happen to be Bohemians. But you know what the funny thing with that movie is?
Mm-hmm.
It was about scam artists saying, let's do it again.
Yeah.
So, like, so essentially, for me, personally, it says to me that, because where you have some actors who are not even involved, imagine that you have a statement, a whole stage, and the people, not even FNMs, are speaking for you, right? But check this out.
Mm-hmm.
You scam us before Bohemians. We believed you. You did nothing. You blame Dorian, and Dorian was almost 2 years or 2.5 years into your thing. What did you do for the first 2 years, 2.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is, you come with a song that forecasts exactly what you're going to do. Scam us again. Let's do it again. A movie with scam artists.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, C. Allen. I think the first step away, well, the first step to the solutions that C. Allen has raised is that we need to form NGOs or for-purpose organizations to provide a form of oversight, monitoring, and documentation around the operation of these agencies. Like C. Allen pointed out, that nobody could present to you a paper, one page, 17 pages, 106 pages. Nobody right now can present to you a paper outlining the status of BECBPL and its assets and resources. Again, a text here that says, Aaron, you have to add every ministry to that list of failed services. MOE, Ministry of Education, I imagine, MOH, Ministry of Health, MOT, Ministry of Tourism, MOF, Ministry of Finance, MOI, I think references immigration. And the text says, I submit not even finance and immigration working for Bahamians. PMH and PHA. Beaches and parks, I put on the list. If you've walked past or walked on the Potter's Key foreshore, if you have been on Potter's Key and you leave via the first or second exit ramps back onto Bay Street, you will see a pileup of debris, of garbage, of both organic trash and man-made trash strewn across the place. Now, mind you, in my area, the team that's been assigned to my area, they're doing an excellent job, very polite, they're very professional, really nice guys. But there are areas that obviously beaches and parks are falling down on. And the first is this: you don't have sufficient bins available for the public in these areas. The bins themselves that you do have are inadequate, are not properly designed for that location or for your policy. They're not large enough. They're not large enough considering the duration, the time between pickups. You should have staff assigned to beaches and parks. So throughout the day, they are collecting trash, preparing it to be picked up by a team so that the bin could be free and clear. Again, were you a part of the great BEC blackout, BPL blackout? If you, like me, lost power and thought you were going to be able to turn to your water and sewage system in the absence of electricity to power your pump, you, like me, may have been sitting there wondering what was happening. Here's why I have water and sewage on the list, not because of the lack of water during the blackout. But the area in which the incident occurred, the leak occurred, didn't we have a sinkhole formed there several years ago? This is why water and sewage is on the list. You had a sinkhole in that same place years ago. We presume a leak caused the sinkhole to develop. What have you learned? What are you doing differently? Is it that the road works in that area were substandard? And the continual movement of cars over that area causes vibrations that cause the parts to break? Are we monitoring or assessing the impact of seismic activity in the region on public infrastructure underground? And then we have the question of above ground versus underground facilities. When a storm comes, everybody wished their power lines were underground. But when there's an issue with infrastructure that's underground, then there's another layer, or another couple of layers of bureaucracy and work that comes into play in repairing or resolving your problem. They got to dig up the ground to get to the pipes. A text here, this is what happens when petty people in charge. This applies to government, hotels, healthcare, insurance, educational institutions, everything. Petty people emotions, their feelings, and their desire to bully the less powerful for retribution, revenge, or sadistic pleasure outweigh everything. They do not care about getting the best result. They care about themselves and wielding their power. This is the result. Fixable things don't get fixed. Text, I appreciate this text. I'm getting ready to print a t-shirt that says, the only thing attacking the Bahamas is a bad attitude. We could solve all of our problems with better attitudes about ourselves, about each other, about our work. Thank you for that text. Some more news. Hail in Grand Bahama. I remember seeing a picture a few months ago, an image purporting to be hail in Grand Bahama. At that time of the year, it appeared to be too warm for that amount of hail to sit on the ground and not melt. But we definitely We definitely got hail twice within a week in Grand Bahama. And my question is, how will insurance policies and products change now that we have evidence of these new elements in our climate and with our weather? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Great. Is this an open line?
It is kind of an open line, but I was hoping you'd call in to identify an area that may still need attention from BEC, BPL, or water and sewage. But yeah, man, hit us up.
Okay, in reference to the waterworks or the water mains that we have running in the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what material they're using nowadays when they mix this tar with concrete or with quarry.
Right.
But over the years, we've seen more traffic in Nassau. We've seen more bigger, heavier equipment in Nassau. And so if we are still using the same system or the same method and putting on pipes and paving roads, that would not work because now the sun is getting hotter. So it affects the tar,
mm-hmm.
right? So we'll have roads probably settling or sinking, and that will impact the pipes beneath the road.
Yes.
And so I don't know how the engineers sit down and pan out.
Mm-hmm.
How can we now change with the times, how we pave roads, how we put down these water mains, should we continue putting them down in the main, in these main, in the middle of the roads? What are we putting in the tar in terms of material so that the material now could weather these heat factors? What is being factored in when they paving roads and put on these water mains so we don't have these problems? In reference to BPL, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
In reference to BPL, I think under the Ingram administration, a lot of huge generators was brought in and to take care of the power shortage.
Yes.
But if we was to look at from that time to now, there are so many major constructions that happened. The Point, Bahama, and all of these other major big development that are actually now bringing burden to BPL. And so while the average Bahamian are trying to pay their light bill, are we carrying the load of BPL at the expense of these large hotels and other entities? Are they paying their full share? So we have to look into that as well. Bahama, I believe, was supposed to carry their load. They was not supposed to be depending on BPL supply, if I could be corrected. The Point, they need to carry half of their load. Are they, all of these large entities or hotels hook up directly to BPL?
Mm-hmm.
As we continue to build more subdivisions and malls and homes, and the BPL is now behind trying to play catch up at the expense of the average Bahamian. We cannot continue on this trajectory. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. I see we have another caller on the line. Hold the line. They're coming to you right now. Caller, I got a text here. One correction, Aaron. The sinkhole on Prince Charles was not at the spot where the leak was that occurred over the weekend. The sinkhole was about 20 meters further up. Thank you for that clarity, texter. 60 feet? That's right in the spot. I know it's not the actual spot, right? But I would have assumed that in the initial leak, that your scope of assessment, that you stepped out at least 100 feet and assessed all of the infrastructure using sonar or radar, some form of technology. You know, when your Grammy could look through the wall and know what you're doing in your bedroom? Dad, get Grammy on the scene. Let her pair her eyes on the ground and see what is happening in the general area. Producer, let's prep the call. Caller, I'm coming. Give me a second. The first leak on Prince Charles happened a day or so after an earthquake hit Jamaica, Haiti, Inagua, had tremors. Thank you. Text, another text. Hail here is not new. Please don't give the insurance companies any idea. I mean, I want coverage for hail. I want coverage for hail. I don't want nobody coming up to me, but Miss Green, how you know some little child ain't park your car with baggy or cup or something frozen? I want coverage, but I want decent coverage. Like, I don't want the type of coverage where you're like, oh, we have to increase your policy 107 times because of hail. We don't want that type of coverage. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
How are you this morning? Mr. Neary, with you this morning?
He's somewhere inside the studio. Studious, studying.
Okay. Listen, with BPL.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I have a feeling that, you know, some of this load will be lightened up. If you see on Friday events, when these government places are closed and these schools are closed, if these ACs are turned off and these lights are turned off, I think that would help a great deal. This is I want every government entity you pass that is closed on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are using these government buildings as the same way they use the government vehicles. No matter if it's a holiday, if it's a Sunday, no matter what day it is, it's still in use. Why?
Okay, so what we need is a temperature control adjustment, because with the technical infrastructure in these buildings, they need to have a maximum temperature that they don't go above. Plus, you know, some of the computers, still the beige computers.
All of them?
They tried to hack from ZNS.
All the buildings?
Not all the buildings. And then here's another consideration. If you are requiring staff to come in on the weekend to work or to work late, or if you have staff that understands that the backlog is so great that you may have to volunteer a couple hours after sign out, you can't turn the AC off. You can't have them waking in a sweat bin.
Because there are times that happens. So that's understandable. However, from I know myself, I've never seen the electricity off or the lights in the classrooms turned off or some of these government buildings turned off when you're passing them at night.
No, I,
they lit it up from the inside.
I agree with you.
You understand me? So somewhere, every little helps, you know.
Exactly. No, no, exactly.
Every little helps. So if they turned off those that can be turned off, turn it off.
And raise the temperature to your maximum point over the weekend so you don't damage computers, right? So those things are cool. But
no, they have special cooling system and special little fans that come with these computers that can cool them. That doesn't need to cool the entire building.
Oh, I feel you.
They have stuff built for those things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so I feel like some of that would help. And the caller before was talking about the hotels and stuff. I don't feel like that's where the problem is. Because how sure are we that these government buildings are actually keeping living up to their part of or their agreement with paying BPL? You know, we don't know who and what owes BPL at this point, and they are just pushing it on us to try and catch up for those who isn't catching up. There's so much they need. Aaron, they need to start from scratch and walk up in order to get this settled, unless it will never be settled. Because those who owe will continue to owe because their lives are continuing on.
Thank you, caller. I happened upon a BPL road works team. They were digging up the road at the entrance to Faith Avenue at Carmichael on the southern side. And it was so frustrating. Not because I thought that they should have been focused on having cookouts to raise this $1 billion, you know. I don't expect BPL to be able to raise $1 billion just like that. You know, I don't expect them to fix the power just like that. What I do expect, though, is that you could find some detour signs. Like, what I do expect that y'all have enough sensible big man working for BPL that y'all could just construct some detour signs. Like, if you had a detour sign at Malcolm Road and Blue Hill Road indicating to drivers that the entrance to Faith at Carmichael on the southern side is blocked, so if you want to traverse south and reconnect to Faith, you could go straight down Blue Hill Road and then connect through St. Vincent Road, and connect your way back to Faith. Or maybe some signs along Carmichael Road indicating to individuals that there's a blockage due to roadworks and detour, reroute to Faith Avenue. That's what I'm upset about. I'm not upset that y'all got 7 generators and then didn't want to tell us that you have to have 2 of them perpetually in maintenance and that you have them in a building where blocks of concrete are falling out of the building. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Y'all can't control that. That's politics. But you couldn't find a piece of wood to make a detour sign? You couldn't find that? Y'all couldn't find enough workers to manage a traffic management team as you're required to do by law, right? Like, y'all can't figure that out? Here's the part. Like, I'm not upset at water and sewerage because the leak occurred so close to the original leak that it should never have occurred. I'm not upset about that. What I'm upset about is that you don't advise your staff that even in an emergency, they need to make contact with property owners before they just enter people's properties. It's 2024. Let's go to the phone line. And I know somebody in this studio don't like to hear me say this. One second, caller, but Clay Sweeten, you ain't safe either. You ain't Minister of Works, you ain't safe either. Minister of Works and Family Island Affairs? No, sir. I've not heard your voice once in reference to the fires. Andrus burning for over a month. Abaco, multiple fires, Exuma fire, Grand Bahama fire. Where are you, Minister responsible for Works and Family Island Affairs? Good morning, caller.
Don't forget the Prime Minister said no one's safe in this country. How you doing?
Hold on, what you mean he said no one's safe? What, from politics? Because I've been sensing that.
Remember a few years ago when he was Deputy Prime Minister and some people robbed his house, hold him and his wife up? He just say nobody's safe in this town. So we got to remember that. At least we should know that before that happened. Or before he said that. It's right there in the news. You can check, though.
No, I remember the story. I remember the story.
I want to find out from you, since it's a little open line, right? Nobody get charged for the dolphins. The dolphins, what they let, I don't know if they let starve or whatsoever. And what did they do with the bodies for the dolphins? They burn them, or what they do with them in...
All right, so I don't know what happened to the bodies of the, I think the 8 dolphins had passed away. The 5 remaining were removed and taken to, I think, Atlantis.
Yeah, I think they said Atlantis.
Facilities.
Like, you know, normally it's a big thing. I hear Sam Duncan, I think, on one show, and I didn't get to listen that much, but nobody, excuse me, I was listening for the courts or the news in the mornings and stuff to see if the company or no one who had the dolphins was charged. That ain't a chargeable offense.
It is a chargeable offense, but it's very complicated, because at the root of it, what's happened is that somebody has just ignored a court order. The court ordered that those dolphins be returned to their...
Favorite enforcement in this country, Dre. We don't enforce the laws.
But right, so there was a ruling. Sam Duncan and Re-Earth brought the matter to the courts, and ultimately there was a ruling... That the island, that the operation should cease. That the island...
Close down, you mean when you say cease?
Yeah.
Close down.
The island should be restored to its original state before the operation began.
Yes.
And that the dolphins supposed to be returned to their home of origin.
No financial fine?
I'm not sure. I can't remember if there was a financial fine.
So there's something with Sam them asking, or there's something with the courts agreeing?
Oh, no. The court has already ruled. The court ruled on this...
I was wondering, because ain't too much people talk about it. I hear some, but I mean, I didn't even hear you touch it that much, and I didn't get a chance to call. At least you had other topics.
I'd have to go into either 2021 or 2022's notes, right? But I did a whole show on it, and in particular, I highlighted that.
Sam was fighting that for years.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I highlighted in trying to showcase the likelihood that there will be no resolution is that Desmond Bannister at one point was the... Let me talk. Desmond Bannister at one point was the minister... was the lawyer for the company.
Okay.
And then governments change, right? And I think he withdrew from them, right? He said, look, I can't be your lawyer no more, I think. But then he was appointed as Minister of Works. And under his tenure as Minister of Works, there's documentation of their... Hold on. There's documentation of their attempts to have a site plan meeting on the same island, and it appeared as if the project was going to continue in another iteration. The point is, though, there's a court ruling, and the court ruled that those dolphins were to be returned to their home of origin. So
you know,
I think...
You're saying that happened a long time. I thought, when you tell me earlier, I thought that just was passed last week or...
No. This case happened a while ago before Ian Winder was appointed Chief Justice. He was the justice that ruled on the case.
And the company still was doing it? They still was dealing with the dolphin or doing what the court said?
I didn't say that. What I'm telling you is that there was a site plan meeting. Desmond Bannister was the minister responsible for works at the time.
Okay.
But we rest on this. I think what is required is that the owners of the dolphins that would have leased the dolphins to this facility... And the individuals that brought the case, as Sam Duncan and Re-Earth, that those two entities need to go back before the court and ask for the court to address it now. That's where you see I'm not an expert. But I think...
No, but you did well. You even sound like not a judge, but a lawyer. You know, I also wanted to find out how you feel about this the bill, what they're talking about in the Senate or in Parliament about gun laws and stuff like that. I was wondering if you know anything about what they're doing in Jamaica. I listened a month now. Sound like that was something they was doing in Jamaica. I don't know if that's something with the United States Senate for all the Caribbean islands to maybe not enforce. But
I'll have to read up on it proper. I'll read up on that
but
one.
Don't forget, Dr. Ministella say a lot of those so-called PLP generals and friends of the PLP, the present government.
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Where did he say this? On the rally stage?
In Parliament.
Oh, he said Parliament.
He keeps telling us when he come back, he can call the names, but he never called the names of the people.
Okay, because you know, when they in... Hold on, Papa. Mm-hmm. When they in Parliament, there are different rules that apply to them.
Right.
So let's not get caught up.
They get away with saying things in there. They
right.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Green.
Yes.
Ms. Green.
Are you still here?
Listen, what about the issue with Paradise Island where the two tourist ladies say they did get raped? I mean, it's been some time now.
We need to petition.
The
I know.
Women's Association or them women who stand up for women's rights, not just Bahamians, but women generally. I don't know if they was given a chance to maybe speak to say, well, if they agree. And then another thing is that we said if that wasn't true what they say about being raped, right? How come the police or the government ain't enforcing the law to bring some closure and let us know? I ain't hard for no one to be charged, you know. I just want some closure and say if them ladies lie. Because if they lie on the Bahamas and lie on the Bahamian people that they was raped, they should never be allowed to come back here. I waiting for them women, them. I don't like to call the names because I don't think y'all like when you call names and stuff. I wish they could come out and say something about it.
I feel you. We need
to hang up and listen. Thanks.
Absolutely. We rely on the Ministry of National Security to issue a statement on the status of the investigation, whether it's been closed, and then whether they intend to petition the AG to charge the women with a crime, what they call it, it's not unlawful detention, maybe, I want to say malicious prosecution, but that's not it because that's the police, right? But we must petition the Ministry of National Security and the AG's office for a formal statement as to the status of the matter. I've got a text. I want to go to the text in a second. The Iranian president presumed dead in helicopter crash with other high-level members of the government. That's a really interesting story, and I think we should pay particular attention to it. Producer, before we go to a quick break, I am looking for this story. All right, here we go. Let me go to the text line. I'm looking for the story on the passing of Sir Cyril Stanley Smith Fountain. In today's Tribune, there are several letters to the editor. We get to that in a second. I want to read this text. I have an area of concern. I need IRCA to immediately issue a communication policy standard to these utility companies. The first point addresses the mode of communication. Facebook is an ill-suited mechanism for notification of a universal service outage. Everyone does not have a Facebook account or data to access Facebook. They need multiple channels targeting at mediums likely to reach specific groups. Secondly, I need the communication to have a timestamp. BEC's website just had a notice to expect a fix in 5 to 6 hours. From when? If it was 5 a.m. when I noticed the water was off, that's 10 hours. Thirdly, I need a status update within 2 hours of the initial incident. That update tells us what the issue is, provides a plan to resolution, and estimates the time to resolution. Absence of communication or inability to accurately define the issue triggers a $10,000 per hour fine. $10,000. I like that. Fourth, an update every 2 hours that follows, indicating whether the plan is going as expected, with same $10,000 fine for non-communication. We need to start acting like this is a country. Absolutely, Texter. I wish you had sent this earlier so I could have made this my whole show. Facebook. In fact, this I'm also going to include government agencies and ministries in this, right? Facebook is not your primary source of disseminating or means of disseminating information. That is just absolutely ridiculous. That you have government agencies that don't have a website or don't have a portal on the government's website to access that ministry, and that their primary means of communication is, you all ready for this? Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Facebook, it's almost as if y'all believe that good PR could solve a problem. That the PR in and of itself is sufficient to tell the people the problem is solved. Like the water and sewage video that came out yesterday with all these beautiful images of y'all showing us step by step what y'all had to go through, how hard your job is. How hard y'all in the road sweating for us. The PR in and of itself does not solve the problem. And why are government agencies and including the Royal Bahamas Police Force, issuing pictures of statements. Do you not know how to convert files to upload them? Why are you sending out pictures of statements from the office of the Prime Minister? That makes no sense. I'm the one that don't know how to convert JPEG to PDF. Y'all are the ones who are getting paid to know. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to make a comment that I would like for them to refute what I'm saying. You know, as the BPL, you know, the thing is, as a person working in the plant room and stuff and working around steam systems, pipes, water boots, generators, I my hat's off to them still because I know what it takes to be out there, right?
Yes.
But as it relates to BPL, you said something about public PR, but PR starts with being intellectually honest about your discipline to the public. And most of us have enough sense anyhow to see what's going on, but as a person who's well, you know, experienced in maintenance, you know, maintenance is one of the reasons for generators, also water in the fuel systems and stuff like that. Generators lose capacity. There's various reasons for it. We don't need to get into it. Bad fuel mix, and we know it. You know what I'm saying? And wastage. It they're not going to be honest with you because we don't have independent journalists moving around looking. I guarantee you fuel wastage. You know, I mean, I know people who work around those places, man. There's a reason for generator losing capacity, different from outdated equipment, and the dissipation of energy at various connection points. And they said themselves that the infrastructure needs to be changed. And so what that simply means is the resistance is too high. You're not getting effective transmission. That's obvious. You know what I mean? There's no science in that. But what I'd like for them to do is just tell the people to buy high voltage air conditions, which means you will be pulling less amperage. Because, you know, somebody bought some the other day, and I was surprised to look at them. It was 12,000 BTUs. They almost 12 amps. That's more than a fridge. That's almost twice as much as a fridge pull. So it's a lot of amp. The ampacity is what counts. Whilst I'm glad that I studied physics for a while in Ohm's law, I have a grasp of it. And one of the things I can remember Mr. Butler teaching me, it was the fact that the megawatts that they talk about, the millions of watts, it sounds great. But when you divide that by the voltage to the house, respectively, whether it be 120 or 240 or 480, then you will actually get the ampacity that's available. Mm-hmm. So it sounds all good that they're talking about this, how much megawatts, but then you're averaging how much the average household sucks ampacity-wise. So mm-hmm. the voltage sounds great, and people may say, oh, I can buy a 120 AC unit that runs at 120, but the ampacity is much higher versus the 241. And so those are the simple things they can use. And I worked in the hotel, and I was wiring up motors, single phase and three phase, before I even went to BTVI, simply mm-hmm. by just learning on the job and reading the nameplates. Before I was even a shift engineer, I was doing these things. Okay, so I understand fully what I'm talking about. And so they're not going to admit that to the public. But obviously, and also lack of maintenance, also, and, you know, air and fuel systems, et cetera, like that. All of these things contribute to the lack of, the generator might be putting out a certain megawatts. But all of that is not consumable because the generator loses power, capacity to generate, and they need to explain it to people. I don't need to give various reasons for that.
Thank you.
It sounds, like I said, I don't want to repeat it over and over, but you know, I'm just trying to get at them to be real and be with people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Same way that all of these businesses stop bringing in all gas stoves, knowing that BPL is not saved, nor can it save itself. I'm just stunned. I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Madam Erin Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Look here, you got 30 seconds. I want to read a letter in memory of Sir Cyril Fountain, and then
okay.
I want to talk about what Vasco Bastian is saying.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, firstly, see, there's no doubt in my mind that fellas like C. Allen and 52 of them know exactly what they're saying
mm-hmm.
and the wider Bahamian public when it comes to all of these problems we have.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with we ain't getting and we ain't speaking the truth is we need to have a truth show as to what's really going on. Them BPL and Waterworks and all them things at Prince George Door, they ain't for us. These fellas dividing them up amongst them and they and that's the truth of the next talk show we need to have. The truth of what is going on in this country. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. I say we hold a meeting at C1622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard. It's a perfect place for a meeting. Headline, Bastion, gasoline not expected to go over $6.50 this summer. I almost fell out. I almost fell out when I read that. Bastian, Vasco Bastian, president of the Bahamas Petroleum Retail Association, told Business Guardian that vice president of the Bahamas Petroleum Retail Association, told Guardian Business that he does not envision gasoline getting to $8 per gallon this summer, despite already being over $5.50 at all gas stations and trending to go up to $7 by June. Quote, if gasoline were to go up to $8, everybody will be riding bicycles up and down. Gasoline had gone as high as $7.50 a few summers ago with the wars lingering on in Russia, Ukraine, and Israel, Palestine. It is uncertain how oil prices will hold if the fighting intensifies. Tomorrow, and they reference the OPEC monthly oil market report. It's very interesting. It's lengthy. But you can just search OPEC monthly oil market report. I fell out of the headline. He does not expect it to go over $6.50 this summer, which means it's probably going to go to... And then you're using this number 8. Trending to go to $7 by June. Dear government of the Bahamas, something has to give, and I have a feeling it's your paycheck. By paycheck, I mean the amount of taxes you collect from fuel-related services. Something has to give. When Pinling said you have to fight for your country, what if he meant you need to have 2 or 3 jobs? What if when Pinling said if you love your country and you want your country, you have to fight for it, what he meant was you got to fight to have 2 or 3 jobs? That the way to defend your country is to work it, to be your country, to defend your country is to be it, to occupy it, occupy your own country, occupy those jobs. When Pinlin said you have to fight for your country, I have a feeling he meant you need to have 2 or 3 jobs, not you need to be prepared to subjugate migrants to float your comfortable lifestyle. I had a request from Sparky to let him call in and give a tribute to his uncle. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to tell you all why I'm not going to do it. But I will read. I will read a tribute to Sir Cyril Fountain on his behalf. In memory of Sir Cyril Fountain by former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham. It is with sadness that I learned of the passing of Sir Cyril Fountain, noted Bahamian lawyer, former member of parliament. Sir Cyril reached the pinnacle of his legal career, serving as Chief Justice of the Bahamas between 1995 and 1996. He was first appointed to the Supreme Court bench in 1993, and between 1994 and 1995 served as Senior Justice. I was honored to have had a hand in his elevation and appointment to the post Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Sir Cyril was only the second Bahamian-born Chief Justice in an independent Bahamas, Sir Leonard Knowles having served between 1973 and 1978. Having worked as an educator in Abaco and West End, Grand Bahama, Sir Cyril was called to the Bahamas Bar in 1963. He spent a decade in his law partnership with Sir Gerald Cash, later Governor General of the Bahamas. Following a decade in legal practice, Sir Cyril entered frontline politics representing the constituency of North Long Island following the 1972 general elections. Without fear of contradiction, I believe I can say that Sir Cyril was most widely known as an expert in election law, gaining a reputation in a number of election petitions made during his years at the Bahamas Bar. Sir Cyril lived a full and productive life. Following his retirement as Chief Justice in 1996, he returned to private practice and then full retirement in Grand Bahama. On behalf of my wife, Dolores, and all my family, I extend sincere condolences to his children, Julian and Cecile, to other members of his family, and to the many friends of Sir Cyril Fountain. May he rest in peace. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, producer, for giving me that extra time to read that tribute to Sir Cyril Stanley Smith Fountain, a Bahamian trailblazer and a nation builder. You guys have a great day. Again, if you are without power and water and having difficulty communicating with those entities, send a text. Don't call. Just send a text. Just send a text. And hopefully the host can share that information online. You guys have a great day. When Pinlin said you have to fight for your country, I sure he meant you need two or three job. You need two or three job. Guardian Radio AM and CA Nuri is up next.
Now Ezra, he was the island king, that little man. He do most anything, he collect the mail. From off the mail, I understand. He even keep the jail, all right, he died.